Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this show, Today's Issues. If you would like to send us an email, here's the address, comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. We hope you listen to American Family Radio throughout the day. We take seriously our job to put top quality programs on the air for you day and night here, including some excellent Bible teaching programs and issue-oriented programs, talk shows, and the host that we have throughout the day. It just, the guys and ladies do just an outstanding job of preparing, and they all have a strong biblical worldview lens in which they look at the current events of our time. And so I just think if you'll stay with us throughout the day here on American Family Radio, you'll find yourself addicted. And there is no cure to AFR addiction, Ray.
This is the kind of addiction that's good for you.
It's a good addiction.
It's a good addiction to have. That's right. Just stay tuned in, folks.
Exactly. Dr. Ray Pritchard is with us today in studio. Ray's normally, off campus somewhere else in Kansas City. And most recently, he moved from Dallas to Kansas City. So he has the opportunity to be with us in studio today. And it's always good to see Ray. And now you and Marlene have three sons, right?
Three sons, that's right.
And how many are in ministry?
Well, we have our middle son, Mark, is a pastor up in Missoula, Montana.
Okay.
Then our oldest son, Josh, he and his wife did 2 years of missionary service over in China, business as missions, and they are now in the Kansas City area. We're about a mile from them.
Okay.
Kansas City.
Okay, so two of the three.
Yes.
Are, and, well, I tell you what, so you're following the grandchildren around.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir, I am. Yes. Yes, yes. Well,
Nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. A year and a half ago, our kids in Kansas City, when we were in Dallas, said, "Mom and Dad, why don't you move to Kansas City to be near us and be near your grandkids?" And all I can tell you, Tim, is once those words came out of our son's mouth, my wife didn't have to pray and say, "Lord, what is your will?" She knew God's will from that moment. It just took us about a year and 4 months to
get it all together. The house for sale sign went up the next morning.
That's exactly right.
Right. And I'm not going to get into your personal financial situation here, but I bet it's pretty good. Seller's market in Dallas.
It worked out okay for
us. Yeah,
you know, when we moved from Tupelo to Dallas,
right?
That was a stretch.
It was an eye opener.
Thank you. That's what I'm trying to say. That was an eye opener. It worked out okay to move from Dallas to Kansas City.
I got you. All right. Chris Woodward is with us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Chris is a newsman from OneNewsNow.com.
I do my best.
And you do a great job.
Well, thank you very much.
The whole team over there really does an excellent job.
It's a great team to work with, great place to work. I'm not just saying that because the president, who decides my fate, is sitting to my left. But it's
purely coincidence.
100% fact.
Yeah, your nose is growing, Chris.
No.
Yeah, it is. It's growing right here in front of
me. I have a nose for radio.
Are you saying it's fake news?
Old Pinocchio.
I've worked in a lot of broadcasting outfits, and this is the best one so far. Great place.
Amen. Well, what you got for us, Chris?
A lot of things to go on. I mean, pretty much it's hard to pick and choose, but just to give people an idea of kind of the headlines, things going on today, House Republican leaders are meeting today in what's being called an attempt to find a compromise on immigration legislation that supposedly meets the needs of both conservatives who want to crack down on illegal immigration, as well as moderates aiming to support Dreamers. These are undocumented immigrants, as some people would call them, others that are here illegally or were brought here illegally into the U.S. as children. I'm curious to see what happens because this will have an impact, I think. We can all agree. It will have an impact on the midterm elections. So there must be something really close that both sides are going to point to as a victory if they're actually going to do this close to an election that's going to determine the future, not only for House and Senate members, but this president and his agenda. What do you guys think?
President Trump basically gave the Dreamers, Dreamers, for those who don't know what we're referencing, is the children, the people who came here as children illegally.
When their parents entered illegally and they were brought here.
And the question has been what to do with these folks. You know, do you keep them in legal limbo forever, or do you give them citizenship, or what do you do? And so that's been the question at hand. And the president offered them a pathway to citizenship.
He gave them a great deal. He gave them above and beyond.
Yeah, all he wanted in return from the Democrats, you remember, was go ahead and build a funding for the border wall. And also, I think, end chain migration. Isn't that what they call it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And end this what do you call this passport lottery thing?
The H-1B visa.
Yeah, the visa lottery.
Yeah, in other words, there was some, what President Trump wanted to do was trade.
Right.
He wanted to trade some very practical things that would help our country be more secure in return for a pathway to citizenship for these Dreamers. And the whether you agree with that or not, as a Republican or as a conservative, that's what the president put on the table. But the Democrats turned that down outright.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Schumer did, and others, because here's why they turned it down outright. They did not want to do anything that President Trump could claim as a victory. So if it meant that the Democrats had to stiff arm the Dreamers,
sure.
Ironically, it was the Democrats who kept the Dreamers from becoming having a pathway to citizenship. And there are a lot of the Dreamers and their advocates, Ray, who were upset at the Democrat leadership because they turned these people into pawns.
Well, it just shows how political this thing has gotten. The Democrats will never get a better deal.
Right.
I think
right.
they should have taken that
yeah,
deal.
Yeah, they should have.
Whether it made President Trump
if they
look
really
good
cared
not,
about these
if they
people.
Really cared, that's right. They should have taken that deal and run with it and taken this problem off the table. Because President Trump ended up on the moral high ground
yes,
on this
did.
Issue.
He did. So anyway, that's the Democrats and Republican congressional leaders now trying to come together, mm-hmm. see if they can put together a plan. We'll see what happens there.
All right. Taking a look across the border, north of the border, a bill to legalize marijuana in Canada faces its last major legislative hurdle today. Canada's Senate is expected to give the okay to a sweeping legislation measure following years of quiet study and discussion. If this passes, USA Today says Prime Minister Trudeau's government expects to launch legal sales in as soon as 10 to 12 weeks, and experts claim that recreational marijuana sales are going to bring in billions of dollars of additional revenue, the kinds of things that we often hear when people push for legalization of whatever.
Right.
So I think you're going to, if this happens, what you're going to see and hear are calls from people in other states. Michigan, already we reported this week, they're going to vote on recreational marijuana. They already allow medical marijuana, but you're going to have a lot of states saying we should do this too. Look at what Canada's doing. They're already doing it in this place or that place. And I think it puts us in a position as Christians where, okay, how do we address these kinds of concerns? I can tell you in my own experience, and you know, people often say, well, God made marijuana, and why are you picking on it, that kind of thing. We see that with a ton of other stuff, but I think if Canada goes this route, we will undoubtedly see it here on our side of the border beyond just the states that already are open to it or allow pot of a certain extent. What do you guys think?
What you're really saying is if Canada does it, it's going to spread all across the
yes.
U.S. on a state-by-state basis. I think that's probably exactly what's going to happen, and we're going to rue the day. I think we're going to regret this. But it seems to be, in the name of personal freedom, we're going to legalize a drug that can have very, very, very dangerous physical impact,
yeah.
mental impact.
Is that a national law?
It will be if they move forward with it. I mean, you might see some, Fred's more the expert on how Canada's government works, of course. You do see some areas up there trying to fight it or You mean just restrictions on it, but it would be nationwide in Canada.
Not medical use.
Recreational.
Recreational
use. Sit in your home and use it.
So you're just smoke pot anywhere you want to, basically. Huh?
It's
wow.
Coming.
Yeah.
And,
like,
you know, Colorado.
Oh, sure.
Like Colorado.
And there are organizations, faith-based or not, that have concerns about what's been happening in Colorado. We see it in California, in other places as well. So there will be plenty of voices on that. Another big international story, we've covered this. We'll continue to cover it for you guys. But Bermuda has legalized same-sex marriage again. And the reason I say again is because last year, in May of 2017, the Supreme Court of Bermuda legalized same-sex marriage. In February, the same country became the first national territory in the world to repeal its gay marriage legislation. Now they have reversed that decision. There were already cries from people like Ellen DeGeneres, actress Patricia Arquette, and others saying, you know, they were going to boycott Bermuda if this didn't get overturned, things of that sort. So be advised if you are booking a vacation cruise to Bermuda. Those were some of the comments we had last year when Bermuda went this route, legalizing it. And I would presume we're going to continue to hear the same thing going forward.
What happened between February and May of this year that I guess they reversed the reversal.
They reversed the reversal, yep. After Bermuda replaced same-sex marriage with domestic partnerships in February, there were concerns the decision would hurt the island's tourism industry, which directly and indirectly employs more than 17% of Bermudans and is responsible for nearly 14% of its GDP, according to the World Travel and Tourism Council.
Money talks.
Yeah, and get this, too. I'm reading from some news outlet.
That's a really small country.
NBC News says the legal battle in Bermuda drew in the cruise line Carnival Corporation, which is registered in the island. Bermuda's Domestic Partnership Act had prevented the company from conducting same-sex marriages aboard its ships anywhere in the world. So there was basically an overturning on business concerns. We will watch that. One interesting thing here.
Only, excuse me for interrupting.
No, it's fine.
Only 64,000 people live in the whole country.
You ever been to Bermuda?
I have not.
I have. I spoke there at a church in Bermuda a couple years ago. Beautiful. And what you said is exactly right. You come to this island out in the middle of the Atlantic. You know, people think it's Caribbean. It's really Atlantic. But, Tim, from the maritime provinces and from Philadelphia and from New York, there's a lot of cruise ships that do come.
Right.
Do come in. So when you're
there, it's business.
You're very much aware of the tourist industry
sure.
there. So money overruled.
What's the weather like out there?
It's beautiful in the summer.
Because, I mean, it's
beautiful.
It's on a line with, say, New York, isn't it? Or Washington, D.C.? I'm talking about, what do you call that, parallel?
Latitude,
you know what I'm talking about? Latitude, longitude? Yeah. Latitude, I mean?
Latitude. It's further south
than New that? York. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, it's a tiny. Bermuda tours.
As countries goes, it's T90. Okay, yeah. It's like 64,000 people live there. I mean, that's the size of a county, in most of the U.S. All right, what else, Chris?
Well, this was a headline here that caught my attention from our friend Scott Rasmussen. He's been on the program a lot, been on the network and the news.
The pollster?
Yep. He has a opinion piece today in Town Hall that says, let's end official White House visits for sports champions. And it addresses the whole kerfuffle, if you will, between the Trump administration and the Eagles and other teams and players that have said, we're not going to do this because we don't like you for that and all that stuff. Scott writes, and I quote, the president's job is to lead the government, not bestow royal blessings on successful citizens or offer a running commentary on every fad in the news cycle. Bluntly, I don't care what President Trump thinks about the Eagles any more than I cared about the March Madness brackets filled out by one Barack Obama. If you want royalty, go to London. And I quote, do you think we will see an end to the White House visits for sports champs, at least under this presidency?
Well,
not if it's Alabama.
Go ahead.
Not if it's Alabama.
No, I mean,
Nick Saban's going to have them up there.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I think college teams are more apt to go to the White House than maybe professional teams, because professional athletes are. They're individualistic.
Sure.
And they are,
it's a job.
It's a job, and they don't, so it's hard to keep them all together, and as far as football goes, some of them got upset with President Trump's comments last year
Yeah,
I agreed with President Trump, but some of these NFL players got upset with his stance and his comments last year, and so I think that's caused the division. And if you're the leader of a team, you don't want half your team. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Half your team going and half your team not going and making comments about they don't like the president, whatever like that. So if I were President Trump, I would just not invite them anymore unless you knew in advance that you're going to have the vast majority of those teams.
I'm kind of surprised that the players don't want to go, because it's quite an honor to go to the White mm-hmm. House.
It's not a political thing.
No, and it was done under, what, Bush? Bush 1 and Clinton.
Oh, yeah,
Bush
as long
two,
as you go back.
Everybody,
you know,
as far as you go back.
Yeah, basically it's just the highest office in the land, the president, whoever he may be, Democrat, Republican, and they're basically doing an honor to
right.
go and be, be honored by the country at the People's House, the White House. So these folks, though, who don't want to go, that's their right. But it does create problems for the team mm-hmm. oftentimes. But your college situation, it's a bit different.
It's a different deal.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Nick Saban can say, we're going. Get on the bus.
Whatever Saban says.
Whatever Saban says.
Yeah, Nick Saban says, we're going. Get on the bus.
Yeah.
We're going to the White House. You know,
everybody's going to get on the bus and go to the White House.
It's not the same with professional athletes.
Although I suppose if Bill Belichick said,
get on the bus.
You know, I think most of the Patriots are going to go.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Belichick would still wear the ripped hoodie with, like, you know,
that's right.
His normal attire. Fun fact about Nick Saban. I heard this on another sports network a few days ago. They pointed out that every year Alabama won a national title, LeBron James won an NBA title. This might be the year that trend breaks, because if you haven't been following the NBA finals, they're in a three-game hole, the Cavs are.
Right.
One more game, if the Warriors win one more game, LeBron and others will go home and try to regroup for next year. So this could be the year that breaks. We shall see. One of the other things I wanted to throw at you was this. Either one of you guys ever been bitten by a snake?
No, I haven't.
No.
Okay. No. There is a story today.
Oh, I heard this.
Severed rattlesnake head.
Should we warn
head?
People?
This is
yes.
bad.
Yes.
This is bad.
Well,
not
long,
bad, but just
okay.
a good,
right. Put out the disclaimer. If you kill the snake, make sure it's actually dead.
Thank you.
There you go. A good snake is a dead snake. I've heard people say before. But anyway.
You listen to this, Tim.
From FoxNews.com. Severed rattlesnake head bites Texas man, nearly kills him. Woman sees a snake. She calls her husband. He comes over with a shovel and thinks he cuts the head off the snake with the shovel. Then, as he's trying to dispose of the parts, the head, which apparently is still alive to some bizarre extent, bites the guy.
The head's severed from the body?
Right.
The head is severed from the body.
And the head still bites the man?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I hate it when that happens.
How does that happen?
Well, you should stick your hand down there.
Well, I know, but you think...
Wait 15 minutes.
Yeah, because maybe the head hasn't turned around to see that the body ain't there anymore.
It's gone.
Huh? And so it doesn't realize
But for this guy, he nearly died.
Yeah.
I mean, he got
yeah, he
bit.
Yeah, he did.
It was a Corpus Christi man.
It was a serious injury.
Yeah. Yes, he did. So,
but he lived, right?
Right. My brother told... I saw a snake one time when I was a kid. My brother was outside washing his truck. And he has always told me since then, that was the fastest I've ever seen you run, Chris, in my entire life. It scared me.
Hey,
I'm not a fan of
snakes. Have their purposes in
the
environmental circle of life, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Or nature.
Get rid of the mice.
So, yeah, they do. They do. But that doesn't make me like them anymore. But I do recognize that there
That's
is
right,
a,
right. They serve a purpose.
About a month ago, we had a water moccasin. I told this story. A big, thick water moccasin.
Those are not good snakes. Those
no,
are,
ooh, they're poisonous,
and they'll come right after you too.
Yeah, they came. It came up on our patio, but that was the only time that's happened. But then we put out some snake repellent. You seen that? You know what I'm talking about? You can buy it at like Lowe's or Home Depot or
does
somewhere.
It work? Well, I guess you haven't seen any other snakes.
I haven't seen any other snakes. You know what I'm talking about?
White
powder. Spread it. Yeah,
or something?
You spread it, and it's some of it smells like the mothballs.
Okay.
But they keep snakes away. That's the idea. Snakes, you know, they can have their, they can do their natural things that they do. Just don't do it at my house. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. Get it away from me, whatever it is.
Stay out in the woods. Yep. But rattlesnakes now, that fella got bit by a rattlesnake.
He did. Written by a rattlesnake.
He had to have how much antivenom?
A lot.
Hey, when you use an antivenom, is that the only time you can do that? In other words, when you use an antivenom if he got bit again, you couldn't use the antivenom.
I have heard before, if he gets bit again, this gentleman,
God forbid, by a rattlesnake, mm-hmm. they can't use the antivenom again. That's what I've always heard.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Y'all don't know the answer to that?
I don't ever want to experience that.
No. But anyway, well, thank the Lord that he lived.
Right?
Yes.
Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Right. Yeah. Give it 15 minutes.
One other story. This is under a section, good news. So we need some good news every
Thank
once
you.
In a while, right?
Yes.
New Jersey trooper pulls over driver who helped deliver him 27 years ago. A New Jersey state trooper got a dose of serendipity when he met the retired police officer who delivered him 27 years ago by pulling him over. Trooper Michael Patterson stopped Matthew Bailey in Kingwood Township for driving with tinted windows, but never got around to giving him the ticket. They got into a discussion, hey, I'm a former cop, you know, oh, this is my hometown, that kind of thing. And they put two and two together. Here's a picture. Where's the camera at, Brent? There you go. Here's the picture. This is the retired police officer. This is the trooper. They put two and two together, and he realized, hey, you're the guy who helped deliver me. I was born side of the road, that kind of thing. Police officer meets the guy he helps deliver and bring into the world.
Oh, that's great.
27 years ago. I mean, what are the odds?
Now, what are the odds?
How did one pull the other over?
It was like a speeding ticket or something? He pulled him over for driving with tinted windows, which is illegal in some states.
Right.
To a certain extent. And they got together, and apparently now they've met a couple of times. Here's another picture. They got together.
Did he let him out of the ticket?
No ticket. That's good.
Okay. So anyway.
Helped deliver a baby today.
I'll let you out of the ticket this time because you delivered me on the side of the road
right.
27 years ago. But next
Fool
time,
me
I'm
once.
After, I'm,
That's
next,
right.
next time, I'm giving Earth you a warning, once. But next time I have to write you up.
Right.
Okay.
Lastly, for the hockey fans, I know you guys have been talking about hockey a lot. Ed and Fred are huge fans. Coincidentally, there is a list out from Wallet Hub, which is an up-and-coming website. They do a lot of rankings. Best cities for hockey fans. Interestingly enough, the two teams in the Stanley Cup Finals are not the top cities for hockey. And that's certainly understandable a little bit, I think, for Las Vegas. They're new to the scene. Washington ranks as number 10. Las Vegas is number 18 on the list. Boston, this is where Ed breaks out and cheers. Boston is number 1. Detroit, number 2. Pittsburgh, 3. New York and Chicago round out the top 5. They rank 73 U.S. cities based on 21 key indicators of a good hockey city, as they call it. Data set ranges from ticket prices to stadium capacity to the performance level of each city's teams. The Caps have been in a long drought. They're looking to end that very soon.
Like they're about to sweep.
They're close.
They're up 3-0.
Yeah, and Las Vegas is actually planning a ceremony regardless of what happens based on the incredible story that has been this year's Knights team.
Hockey is like football on ice.
It could, yes.
Sort of, in a way.
Sort of.
It's sort of a hybrid between football, soccer, on ice. Amazing athletes, but, man, they're not very nice to each other.
I went to a game one time and a fight broke out. So.
Those guys, you know.
It's big. It's growing in the SEC, too.
Yes.
You can bring your cowbell.
To a hockey game?
Oh, they might frown on that.
All right. We appreciate you listening to the program today, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We will see you tomorrow for Trivia Friday. Have a great afternoon.